Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're tackling a big one, John Milton's Paradise Lost. Sophie, I gotta ask, how do you even summarize a poem that's basically the entire Bible retold as an epic space opera?
Hi there, Sam. Well, you start with the most controversial take. Satan is the real protagonist. But before we get there, let's set the stage. Milton wrote this in the 1600s. He was blind, and he wanted to justify the ways of God to men.
Right. And he opens in hell, not in paradise. That's the first genius move. We're thrown into this lake of fire with the rebel angels who just lost the war in heaven.
And Satan is lying there, charred, but he gets up and delivers this epic speech. He says, "Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven." And honestly, you're like, yeah, okay, I'm with him for a second.
It's so weird because you know he's evil, but he's so compelling. He rallies his troops, they build this palace called Pandemonium, and they have a council to plan their revenge.
They decide to corrupt God's new creation, humans. So Satan volunteers to journey across chaos to find Earth. And the way Milton describes that journey, it's epic. He has to pass through the gates of hell guarded by his own daughter, Sin, and his son, Death.
Wait, his daughter and son? That's messed up. But yeah, he tricked the angel Uriel to find Eden. And then we get to the garden, and Satan sees Adam and Eve, and for a moment he feels remorse. He even says, "Which way I fly is hell, myself am hell."
That's the key to understanding evil in this poem. It's not just an external punishment, it's an internal state. Satan is trapped in his own pride and despair, and he wants to drag others down with him.
So then we meet Adam and Eve. They're living in this perfect paradise, naked and unashamed, just happy. And the angel Raphael comes to warn them about Satan. He tells them the whole story of the war in heaven and explains free will.
And that's the crucial point. God didn't want robots. He wanted beings who could love freely. And love that's forced isn't love at all. But that means they have to have the option to disobey.
So the temptation scene, when Satan comes to Eve as a serpent, it's not like he's some scary monster. He's flattering, seductive. He tells her God is holding out on her, and eating the fruit will make her like a god.
And Eve doesn't think she's choosing evil. She thinks she's choosing knowledge, wisdom, a higher state of being. That's what makes it so tragic and so human. The best temptations aren't obviously bad. They're good things twisted.
So Eve eats the fruit, and then she has to decide whether to tell Adam. She's scared he'll be taken from her, so she gives it to him. And Adam, he knows he's doomed, but he can't bear to live without her. He says, "How can I live without thee?"
That's where it gets really profound. Adam's love for Eve is beautiful, but it becomes idolatrous. He loves her more than God. So his choice is both noble and a failure. It's the human condition in one moment.
Then the consequences hit. They feel shame for the first time. They hide from God. They start blaming each other, and they get kicked out of Eden. But before they leave, God promises that a future savior will come and defeat evil.
And then the angel Michael shows Adam the entire future of humanity. All the wars, the suffering, but also the coming of Christ and the promise of redemption. Adam sees that the fall isn't the end. It's the beginning of a bigger story.
So the poem ends with Adam and Eve leaving paradise hand in hand with a world before them. It's not despair. It's a sober hope. They've lost the garden, but they can carry paradise inside them.
And that's why this poem is still relevant. It's not just about theology. It's about freedom, rebellion, love, and what it means to be human. We see ourselves in Satan's pride, Eve's curiosity, and Adam's devotion.
Honestly, the part that got me was Satan's journey. He's brave, resourceful, determined. He's the archetypal hero, but he's using those qualities for evil. It makes you think about how we admire charisma and ambition in our own leaders.
Exactly. Milton wasn't on the devil's side, but he understood that evil is most dangerous when it's attractive. It doesn't come wearing a red suit and horns. It comes disguised as an angel of light, offering knowledge and self-improvement.
And that's something we all face. Every time we rationalize a small compromise, we're kind of doing what Eve did. We're telling ourselves it's for a good reason.
Right.
But the poem also offers hope. The fall is tragic, but it leads to a greater redemption. It's through suffering and loss that we gain wisdom and maturity. That's the paradox Milton is trying to justify.
So my big takeaway? It's that freedom is a risk, but it's the only thing that makes love and virtue possible. You can't have one without the other, and that's worth the cost.
And if you want to explore more big ideas like this, the whole 7-Minute Books library is on the app at 7minutebooks.com/app. There are over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, and it's just $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. But for now, remember, the paradise you seek isn't a place, it's a state of mind. We'll see you in the next one.